The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
9 days until training camp commences. We'll have the best coverage of training camp right here at The Fan. Teddy versus Drew, the 50-50 battle. The coin flip camp is underway. And frankly, at this point, Tyler, I think most people are trying are moving on from Aaron Rodgers at this point. It's 2 weeks away. It looks like the two guys that we really should focus on are Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. And while we all welcomed it, there just does not seem to be much gas to heap on the fire about an imminent trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it doesn't feel like anything is imminent for sure. And we are 9 days out from training camp, which means I got my mind on our guys. I got my mind on Teddy Bridgewater, on Drew Locke, and tried to figure out which one of these two guys is going to win the battle and how many games you could win with those quarterbacks. If Aaron Rodgers becomes available and a trade goes down, I don't care if that's 1 week into training camp or in week 12, of course I'm going to be excited about it. And I'm not entirely just dismissing the idea of it. But yeah, I'm kind of like, I got my coach's hat on now, and I'm analyzing the team that we got. So, okay, if the fantasy becomes real with Aaron Rodgers, fantastic. Otherwise, this is the team that we got, and it's time to prepare ourselves with the guys that we got.
So obviously, we'll dig more into Teddy and Drew. In fact, there's a new list, a new ranking that's come out, and you'll see where the Broncos quarterbacks fall in that in about 15 minutes. But meanwhile, as we look at other storylines, does Garrett Bowles look elite? Who is Garrett Bowles? Where does he rank? What is he all about? Storyline number 9, as we count it down to the beginning of camp, really is about Garrett Bowles. So I think overall, we're feeling pretty good about, you know,
GB zone.
Aren't we feeling pretty good about him?
Yeah, I feel good about Garrett for sure. The question is going to be, can he sustain the level that he played at last year? And I would argue that that's going to be very difficult for him to do, but it doesn't mean that he necessarily has to play at that level to be an effective franchise left tackle for you. I've been around a lot of left tackles. Russell Okung is a good example. That dude has been paid a million times over, and I would say at no point in his career was he ever elite. He had the ability to become elite many, many times, but he was a darn good left tackle. So can we get Garrett Bowles to be a darn good left tackle moving forward? And what does the offensive line look like? Last year, Garrett Bowles was the best feel-good story, like, in the NFL. Not just in Denver, not just with the Broncos. Garrett Bowles was one of the most incredible turnarounds you've ever witnessed. And we're not talking about a guy that had off-the-field issues and redeemed himself. We're just talking strictly, he was 100% a bust, 100%. And there were zero people that were predicting the type of turnaround that he had last year. Had a fantastic turnaround. Here's what I know about Garrett. He absolutely got better last year, significantly better. Did he benefit from the holding calls? Yeah, probably a little bit. But you know what? Gone were the arm wrestling, the WWE takedowns. Believe me, if he did that last year, even with the holding call changes, those would have been called. He didn't have those. He got better. He still had a couple games where he had too many false starts. And it's going to be fascinating to see, can he continue to play at that level? But then you go down the line and you say, all right, well, if Garrett is now your superstar of the offensive line, and that's what he is your left tackle, how good can this group be? And, you know, we got a list from ESPN that's got the Broncos offensive line ranked as 17th in the entire NFL. Okay. That sounds about right. I don't have a ton of issues with it. I mean, if you go down the line, you say 17, that doesn't sound great. And I would say 17, you could win a lot of ball games with this group. You go down the line, you say Garrett Bowles, you feel great about him. Dalton Reisner had a little bit of a regression in his second year from his first year, but I still feel great about Dalton Reisner's future, and I feel really solid about the left side of the offensive line. On the interior, Lloyd, okay, clearly he's got to play better. He started to play better as the season progressed. But here's the good news. If you're talking about positions and where you can have a little bit of a weaker player physically, center is by far the spot where you want the weakest player. Mentally, he's got to be all the way there. He's got the toughest job mentally. But then you go down to the right side and you say, okay, Graham Glasgow, serviceable. Not worth the money that you're paying him, but absolutely a serviceable right guard in the NFL. And Bobby Massey?
Is there a possibility Glasgow's job could be not full job? It's not like he's going to get cut, but is that a competitive situation?
This year, no. Next year, I would be shocked if he's still on the team. He's got a ridiculous amount of money that they are committed to this year. Okay. Follow the finances. He's going to be your starting right guard. Next year, they're out, and they probably will get out of the contract next offseason. I would be shocked if Graham Glasgow is not your full-time starter at right guard this year, strictly because of the finances. But believe me when I tell you, he is serviceable. I've been around a lot of guys in this league, and you don't have to have all five guys need to be superstars. You just need a group that could work in cohesion. It's all going to come down to Bobby Massey. That's what it's really going to come down to. Can Bobby Massey finally step in, fill the hole at right tackle that we've been struggling with for 5 or 6 years? And if he can, this group has got the potential to be on the fringe of a top 10 group in the NFL. But D-Mac, it doesn't really matter. You don't have to be a top five offensive line in order to be effective. You just have to be able to do your job and keep your man off the quarterback. And sometimes in the NFL, actually most of the time, it's a got man league. Mm. Did you keep your guy off the quarterback or not? I don't care whether it was pretty. I don't care whether there are guys out there that do it better. Did you keep him off him or did you get his head decapitated?
We're going to have more issues at right tackle this year. Is it going to be a turnstile? Is it going to be a disaster?
No, it will not be, unless Bobby Massey can't stay healthy. If he's healthy, Bobby Massey will be the best right tackle we've had in a long time. Now, I can't predict whether he's going to stay healthy or not. He's older, coming off of injury, and very easily he could get banged up. But if he's healthy, he will be the best right tackle we've had in a very long time. So 17 to me feels a little bit low. It's not outrageous. But Garrett Bowles will be the leader of this group, and I would predict that he doesn't quite play at the level he did last year, but it's still going to be at a very high level and certainly an acceptable level for a franchise left tackle.
What made the biggest difference with Bowles? Was it the rule changes?
Technique.
He just got better.
For sure, technique. He had a horrible habit of taking one kick and opening up his hips, and he would give the edge rusher a two-way go. He could take the inside, he could take the outside, he could take the short corner, or he could bull rush him. He could do anything that he wanted. His technique has improved tremendously. He can take it to the next level because Garrett right now has got one pitch, and he takes the same set every single time. Now, he got really good at that set, and there's nothing wrong with that. Joe Thomas lived his entire career on a straight vertical set. There are guys that can do that their entire career. But Garrett Bowles, if he adds in a couple wrinkles into his game, I think he can become even closer to being an elite tackle.
GB's on.
Here we go.
GB's on.
We're looking at ESPN, and they're still talking about Aaron Rodgers. Appreciate the question. This is a really limited question regarding that. I would just say there's nothing new to say. So they're saying Mark Murphy, the CEO, said there's nothing new to Rodgers Packers standoff. It feels so silly at this moment. But I got something for you. It's a new list, and it's actually shocking where the Broncos stand on this list and why this particular question, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, still is pertinent for the Broncos. Details next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Just want you to take note of when I'm drinking my coffee out of here.
Oh, I did. You know what? I did not notice that, but you've retaken control of your mug, huh?
I have.
Good for you.
And
did you wash it after you spit in it? You coughed it?
Yep.
Goodness. Did you wash it like 5 times? Because I don't know if I would drink out of my own mug that I spit in.
Yeah, it's been washed and cleansed and cleaned. And this is not the first day back.
Already got a chip in it, buddy. What happened there?
Do I really?
Yeah, keep turning. Keep turning. There it is. Yeah, little chip already. Oh. Not taking good care of your possessions.
Well, I'm just letting you and Zach know that it's here at the radio station. And we'll see what Zach does.
Have you done anything in my time out? Did you do anything to get even with Zach?
Not really. It's I'm just kind of playing some mental games with him a little bit. But you know, just to let you know, Zach, it's here. Our mug is here, and it will stay at the station. But I'll be stunned if he can find it.
Oh, see, I thought there was going to be some other thing going on there. Like, you never know what I did to it before I put it in the cupboard.
I'm not
for you to see.
I'm not going to mess with it. I think it might be kind of fun if it's just like Easter every day for Zach Bye. I got a spot to put it that's convenient for me, that I know exactly where it is, but I will be stunned if he ever finds it. So it's a bit of a challenge there, Zach Bye. We'll see if you can figure it out.
So this will become a new game. I love it.
It's a little bit of a new game.
Now, is it going to require a ladder for you to put it wherever it's going?
Well, anything above 4 feet may require some sort of advantage for me in terms of height adjustment.
Right.
But then again, I'm short. See, I'm making my own short jokes. Does that work?
I had a handful of different people at my golf tournament this weekend tell me that you're awfully, awfully sensitive to the short jokes.
No, why would I be sensitive to short jokes? I love short jokes. I mean, what short guy doesn't love short jokes?
Right.
Right? I mean, who doesn't love a good short joke when you're short?
I can tell you're totally into them. Perfect.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. I mean, bring them on.
Yeah.
Haven't heard most of them.
I won't do it because I'm above that, so...
Yeah, you're way above it because you're much taller than me.
Yep.
There you go. So I saw this new ranking for the Broncos. So here's the story. How are the teams set up in the NFL for the next 3 years? This kind of goes to the degree, how well is your team built?
Okay.
How are you going to succeed over the next 3 years? Excuse me. And... I just laughed at this because all I hear from, say, you know, Mike and Mark is build it, then get a quarterback. Oh, okay. So the Broncos in this ranking were 24th in ESPN's future rankings. Tyler, 24th. Oh gosh, what's that based on? Overall roster minus quarterback. Quarterback, coaching, draft, and front office. 1 through 32.
Okay.
Front office, the Broncos, 19. Okay, kind of like George Payton, I suppose.
Well, it's fair. I mean, he's an unproven guy. You could feel optimistic about it, but it'd be tough to rank him overly high when you don't have much of a sample size to rank him on.
Draft, 19.
Okay.
Kind of middle of the road. Coaching, 29.
Mm.
Not much regard for Uncle Vic.
Hold on. So, who is worse? Who is worse? Do you have the two coaches or the three coaches?
Well, Houston ranks last in just about everything. Well, they don't last. Actually, Houston is not last in everything, but they're last.
Okay.
So, I don't have it right in front of me, but I assume they're bad. But 29 for Vic and Shermer and those guys.
Yeah, Vic's got some stuff to prove this year, pal. He is definitely on a one-year prove-it deal right now.
Quarterback room. 32.
Mm. So
32.
Wait, so that's like last?
That is last.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
That is last.
If you're not first, you're last anyways, right?
They have the Broncos in this ranking as having the worst quarterback situation for the next 3 years.
Yeah, so that and that list is including the entire room. It's not just your starter, but most of the lists that we've seen anyways that include all of the players like 1 through 35, whatever, maybe some of them even go to 50. We've generally speaking got our quarterbacks ranked anywhere between like 30 and 40. That's where they always land on these lists.
Now, here's the kick in the pants. The build it, they will come sort of strategy that Mike and Mark have advocated for so strongly. Overall roster minus quarterback, 12th.
Mm.
What this is saying in this survey is the Broncos have the team. They don't have the quarterback.
Yeah. That's why, when we talked about the Stokely shot out of the bunker a lot, and when's the best time to take a calculated risk for the Denver Broncos to go after a quarterback? Well, you don't always just want to swing for the fences when you don't know who the guy's going to be or if you don't have the roster set. It did feel like this year you had a very capable roster and you didn't have to move up. You didn't have to give away the farm to draft Justin Fields. He just fell to you. He was in your lap. You literally didn't have to do anything. I didn't want to move up to go get Justin Fields because I did think that that was going to be the equivalent of swinging from the bunker because you're giving up a ton for a guy that does have a lot of question marks. But when he falls to you, man, you're set up. You do have a good team. No, we don't have this team set up to the degree that we need it in depth. And the way that you know that is based off special teams. The reason why we've been so bad on special teams is because our depth has been so bad for years and years and years. Look, Tom McMahon might not be a very good coach. And right now, I don't have any reason to say he is a good coach. But I do know that he hasn't had a lot of talent to work with, and that talent comes from your backups. So, okay, we've been building that depth, building it. Starters-wise, we're pretty dang close, man.
Yeah.
Your defense is the highest paid in the entire NFL.
Well, you know what? Let me read the specific reviews of this, and I think it's incredibly revealing. We'll do that next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
You asked in this ESPN survey about the future rankings, how the teams are projected for the next 3 years, and I said, hey, the Broncos coaching was at 29. Well, what coaches were worse?
Right.
I looked it up. Bengals 30, Eagles 31, Texans 32.
Okay, so that's good. At least we're not 32. At least there's three teams that are got more questionable spots than we do in coaching. You know, it's real, though. And a lot goes into that. And when we talk about this quarterback situation and we talk about Drew Locke, we talk about Teddy Bridgewater, you think Vic Fangio doesn't recognize that he is in that category? Do you think he doesn't recognize that he's got a 1 year prove it situation right now? Of course he recognizes that. And of course that's going to impact his overall decision with his quarterbacks. And that's why Teddy Bridgewater was brought in, because they needed some quarterback in that room that provides a sense of stability that Vic Fangio feels like he could win with right out the gates. And look, man, I mean, we've talked about this many, many times. From my heart, like from an emotional rooting fan perspective, 100% Drew Locke would be more fun to watch. 100% he would be better for the future of the Denver Broncos. He gives you an opportunity to be a franchise quarterback. And Teddy Bridgewater, the day that you start Teddy Bridgewater, you can bank it. That day that Teddy Bridgewater starts his first game, you are officially on the hunt for your next franchise quarterback, because Teddy will never be the next franchise quarterback. But what Teddy can be, in Vic Fangio's mind, is his best opportunity to win this year when he's ranked as the 29th best coach in the NFL.
And that would bring up Mark Schlereth, Mark's winning Angel's Theorem. And that means you've won games with Teddy Bridgewater, like you did with Alex Smith. And now is the time to draft a quarterback, which means maybe you want Spencer Rattler.
Oh, missed it. Missed opportunity. It's all right.
At some point.
Well,
but I'm joking on that, because Spencer Rattler is actually going to be the number one overall pick and likely will go to a team like the Texans, whoever just, really bottoms out. I've already looked at the projections of quarterbacks, and the same names kind of keep popping up at quarterback Tyler over and over and over again. And one of the more consensus things is where Rattler is projected to be. Now, Justin Fields was projected to be the number two overall guy, and that changed. I'm not saying that things can't change, but in this review of the Broncos quarterback situation, 29th in coaching, 32 in quarterbacks.
Yeah, see, the thing is, it really doesn't matter how many games you win if Teddy Bridgewater is your quarterback. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if you go to the playoffs, and it doesn't matter if you only win two games. The end result is going to be the same. You're looking for your next quarterback. That you're officially on the hunt the day that he starts. So I don't know if there is even a number. Okay, if you won 14 games, I guess in theory Teddy Bridgewater could pull off a career comeback, and now he's your franchise quarterback. But I guess in a real world, best case scenario, you win 10 games, something like that. You sneak into the playoffs. You're still looking for a quarterback, for sure.
Well, theoretically, according to Mark's strategy, and that's where they would be at that point, because the team is built. The team in this ranking has the 12th best team in the NFL, take away the quarterback, 29th in coaching, 32nd in quarterbacks. Let me read you what Lewis Riddick says. Biggest worry, quote, "I'm surprised that Denver did not address the quarterback position in the draft. While the Broncos have nice pieces at tight end and receiver, and they are continually building out the offensive line, Quinn Meinerz was a steal, they are not going to make up sustainable ground on the Chiefs in the AFC West until quarterback is a strength rather than a weakness," which, of course, we all agree with, which is why I've said repeatedly, in my opinion, on the draft, if you get it, kind of an A or an F. And I really do think, and I know people disagree with this, but I really do think the Broncos blinked a little bit. I think they thought they were going to get Aaron Rodgers, and they didn't love Justin Fields. And they just could not justify going in the direction that year. But you're left in this position. Now, let me tell you this. The Bears, like I read the same review about the Bears. So the Broncos overall are 24th overall. The Bears are 26th. And in the Bears review in this survey, Tyler, it's kind of like the same thing as the Broncos. Like, this is where they are. But if Justin Fields rises up, same with the Broncos. If Drew Locke rises up, it could be much different.
Well, it's always going to be about the quarterback. And, you know, George Payton will either be right or wrong. I disagree with you that he blinked. I think he made a decision on Justin Fields that he is not better than the guys that they have, and he doesn't feel better about their future. Now, he will either be right or wrong about that, but we already know that he made a decision that the quarterback room is not good enough. We know that when he chased Matt Stafford. We knew that when they were in the Deshaun Watson conversation. We knew that for sure when they went out and they got Teddy Bridgewater and opened up a 50-50 quarterback battle. He has acknowledged that QB is not good enough right now. He made a decision and Justin Fields was not going to be good enough. Actually, selecting a quarterback would have been the easiest thing for him to do. That would have been the surefire way to embrace yourself into the community. What Denver Broncos fan would have been mad at George Payton if he selected a quarterback? Nobody. Of course not. But that's why I say that he didn't blink. If anything, he made the more challenging decision to go out and select somebody. He trusted his evaluation. I disagreed with it. I like Justin Fields. I think he's going to be successful. But George Payton made a decision, and it was actually a more challenging decision than selecting him. It would have been easy. Everybody would have loved you if you selected Justin Fields. Nobody would be mad.
Well, yeah, because it would have made the most sense. But, hey, it didn't happen. And the inevitability of the Broncos on the upside of things is having a 9 or 10 win season, which will leave you in a spot where you're drafting in the 20s and kind of now what?
Now you've got improvement. I mean seriously, don't discount that. Don't discount like now what we got to 9 or 10 wins.
But all right.
We've got improvement.
Now what though?
Now we're heading in the right direction.
Okay, so keep Drew Locke.
Well, no, what if it's Teddy? I mean, if it's Drew Locke, yes, you probably are keeping him.
9 wins with Drew Locke.
Yeah, you are keeping him.
Okay.
For sure. He gets another crack at it.
Let me run some scenario. Okay. You run another year or you redo his contract?
Oh, you just do another year.
Okay, because he has 1 year left.
Yeah. So you run it out and see if he can become a top 15 quarterback or not. And if he does, then you pay him midseason. And if he doesn't,
midseason of the fourth year.
Now he probably won't agree to it because
he
can taste free agency.
Correct.
But you haven't seen enough to go out and pay him yet. You don't want to get stuck with a $120 million deal on a top 20 QB.
So if Drew Locke got 9 wins, he goes for year number 4, which he's under contract for. You of course move on from Teddy Bridgewater. You don't sign him to a new deal. And then you try, if things are going well, you try to sign him. That is tricky because maybe you have to draft another quarterback anyway.
Well, theoretically, you don't know that Drew's the guy yet.
Correct. Because under that scenario, if you don't do a new contract for him, you probably should be drafting another quarterback.
Not necessarily. I mean, you've still got the year. You still get to see if he becomes the guy. If he becomes the guy, then you pay him.
What would Drew Locke have to do, in your opinion, to just, you know, forget about that last year? We're going to give you that big contract.
This year, well, number one, he'd have to cut his interceptions in half or more. He'd 2-1 on his touchdowns and interceptions, and he'd have to have 11-plus wins. Pretty simple.
Okay.
Give me winning football. Give me an opportunity to win. You can't lose me any games. If you go out there and you lose two or three games because of your interceptions, there's no way I'm giving you another contract.
All right, let me give it to you. 25-7, touchdowns to interceptions, okay. 11-6, first-round exit in the wild card. We're giving him $30 million a year for 5 years?
It's tough, man. I mean, you got to think about it for sure. And it's definitely a realistic option. You're not locked in by any means that you have to do that, because you don't want to get stuck with the Nick Foles. You don't want to get stuck with the Carson Wentzes, the guys that you overpay and you're stuck in that contract. That's a tough spot to be in. It really is. But yeah, you probably do pay him in that situation.
Cliss will give us the latest as we are just less than 2 weeks away from training camp opening up. Plus, there is some commentary out there by guys who know Aaron Rodgers, guys who really know Aaron Rodgers, that say what the Broncos are about to do is about as dumb as you can get. You'll hear that next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Cliss will be on with us in a second, but we're seeing, I think you should read it there, Tyler, but it's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, NBC affiliated. It's always weird with Florio. Like, is he a journalist? Is he an opinion guy? Like, I always am curious. Like, he's paid. He's in partnership with the NFL, but yet, I don't know. He's a quirky guy to follow along with. But why don't you go ahead?
You discounted his report before you even started. Is that what you're doing?
Are you telling us
why we shouldn't hear it?
No, I'm just saying Florio's track record is spotty with, like, a lot of things. He's a guy that does a lot of speculation, and he's not like Adam Schefter.
Well, you're right.
Adam's just a pure reporter.
Well, Florio's an opinion guy, and Schefter's a reporter. So you could always take Florio's thoughts as an opinion. But, I mean, he does run, like, the most successful NFL-viewed website in the entire interwebs.
He does.
Right?
He does.
He's got a lot of credibility. You know, he has an opinion that Aaron Rodgers is going to show up, and if he shows up, he'll be more likely to get traded. He said that Aaron Rodgers wants to make Mark Murphy kind of sweat it out until July 26th, which is the day of the shareholders meeting, so that he has to deal with all the fans and everybody else that is upset with uncertainty. And then the next day, we will find out that Aaron Rodgers shows up. Florio goes on to say, I didn't buy the thing this past weekend when he said, I'll figure it out in a couple weeks. Well, in a couple weeks, camp opens up, and you better figure it out before then. I think he knows what he's going to do, and frankly, it's more likely that he gets traded if he does show up. So his opinion is that Aaron Rodgers knows he's going to show up, and if he shows up, that actually gives him a better option or better likelihood of getting traded.
I'm struggling with this. I'm open to it. Can you watch?
You're not struggling. You just hate on it. That's all right.
I don't get it. I don't understand how his showing up for training camp increases his odds of being traded. It feels like the exact opposite. As
well,
if he shows up for training camp, he's committed to the team that he's there with.
I guess if I were to argue it, and I certainly understand your reservation with it, but if I would argue for the report, I would say, look, if Aaron Rodgers decides to stay home from training camp, if I'm Murphy, if I'm Gutekunst, if I'm running the Packers, I'm saying forget you, bud. Like, I don't care what you've done for my team. At this point, you're going to play for us or nobody. Like, this is enough of this showmanship. This is enough of this gamemanship.
Right.
I'm not doing you any favors. I'm not redoing your contract. I'm not doing anything. You're playing for me or nobody else. I'm tired of the way that you're behaving. Okay, if you show up, you show up in good faith for them. Maybe you just keep the relationship a little bit more civil, and you're able to work in conjunction a little bit easier.
Maybe I'm just working here, okay? I'm trying to figure this out, why this makes sense. I guess he could show up and just not practice. I got this injury. I got that. I don't feel like it. I don't know.
Well,
I guess
he could, but that would be the equivalent of not showing up. So that doesn't do anything to build the relationship or the trust of one another. Florio does
It would force the action a little bit, though, I guess.
Well, not any more than just staying home.
Don't think so?
No.
It'd be kind of a bigger stinker, wouldn't he?
Actually, to one degree it does, because it would prevent the fines. So Aaron Rodgers could show up and say, you can't fine me.
Right.
I got a hamstring issue. I can't play.
Right.
Now, Aaron would be the ultimate bad guy in that situation.
Right.
Florio does go on to say that he thinks that Mark Murphy would rather Aaron Rodgers not show up. Then Aaron Rodgers becomes the villain. The Packers can go forward with Jordan Love, and they make out with a net $30 million out of the deal. So at this point, it's become a game of who's the bigger villain.
Okay. I mean, all right. That, on the surface, that makes no sense to me, but okay.
You know what's fascinating about this entire situation is that nobody knows, because Aaron Rodgers hasn't said anything.
I'll give you that.
Aaron Rodgers has not come out and said, I want to be traded, nor has he said, I'm coming back. All we've got is opinion. We've got Adam Schefter being pretty strong that the relationship is over. There is no repairing that relationship.
Well, I'd say he's lost. They've lost him. But what does that mean, they've lost him? I mean,
that it's over.
Well, it means but it only means they've really lost him if he doesn't show up, if he just doesn't do anything. And Aaron Rodgers himself has not said at any second that he's not showing up.
Right. But that's the fascinating situation about all this, is that everybody's just got an opinion on it and nobody has anything directly from Aaron Rodgers' mouth.
Our 9 News Broncos insider is Mike Kliss, who joins us courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. We're reacting, Mike, to Florio's theory that Rodgers is all the bouncing ball in this. According to Florio, Mike, Rodgers is more likely to get traded if he shows up for Packers training camp. Does that resonate with you at all?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure why that would be other than maybe a physical reporting. There might be some collective bargaining agreement rules involved there that I'm not involved with. That's a bit of a technicality. I think it still comes down to whether he shows up to play. It would think that if he shows up, he's showing up to play for the Packers. He wouldn't show up and, jake it a little bit and not perform, not practice, sit on the sidelines, and that would help him get traded. That part of it doesn't quite add up. So, I don't know, guys. Let's see. He's supposed to make his announcement in a week, right?
A week
from tomorrow is the reporting date of training camp. Hopefully he makes an announcement and puts all this disturbing mystery now, not a beautiful mystery, disturbing mystery behind all of us. So, no, really, Broncos country can either get excited about Rodgers again or start concentrating on the debate and the quarterback competition between Locke and Bridgewater.
Well, Mike, like you said, I mean, we're 9 days out. So at this point, my personal focus is turning towards Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. But I am curious, from your knowledge behind the scenes, have the Broncos continued to pursue Aaron Rodgers?
Well, pursue's the wrong word. I think monitor is a better word and accurate. I do believe, from what I had been told earlier, and everybody is on vacation and just getting back today, as a matter of fact, the front office and the coaches. The last I heard is if Aaron Rodgers becomes available, the Broncos will be in it. That's That's what I've been led to believe. So, but we'll see. But they also caution to say, under no uncertain terms, the Packers have not made him available. So there's been no talks. I mean, there's no pursuing when they're the Packers aren't listening. So that's still status quo. I mean, you guys have asked this question many different ways the last 3 or 4 months, right, at least since the draft. And really nothing has changed. He's unhappy. The Packers won't trade him. If they do, the Broncos are in it. That has been unchanged really since the draft come April 29th.
There's news out today that Peyton and Eli, through Omaha Productions, they have their own production company, are going to do a companion piece to Monday Night Football where they'll have celebrities and football stars and other people on at the same time as Monday Night Football, and they'll do 10 episodes of that. Mike, in your opinion, if Peyton Manning is making a further commitment to some form of broadcasting, maybe broadcasting where he's not under quite the same commitment level as week to week to week, but some form of it, Mike, do you think it's more likely Peyton Manning just stays in this direction and less likely he joins any team as, say, president of football or some sort of ownership group?
Yes. I mean, that's, you look at the teams he'd be interested in. He was asked about this last week in his Hall of Fame Zoom press conference. And I do think if the whole president thing would become available, he would be interested, and he could get out of that contract. I mean, I'm not sure where John Gruden was when he became coach of the Raiders. But broadcasters, John Lynch with Fox, if a football job opens up or a coaching job opens up, they get out of their broadcast commitment and go do whatever they want in football. So I don't think that would impede Peyton. It would keep him in the game, locked in a little bit more by going through this type of thing, which will amount to some type of studying on Peyton's part. So I really don't think that would change. Right now, the Broncos are, maybe – I don't know. They've had one legal hurdle cleared here, but still, it appears that they're not till next spring figuring out whether to keep it in the family in Brittany or sell it to an outside investor. And all that's got to be sorted out before Peyton would come in the picture here. So, I don't think Peyton is going to be part of any of those discussions. And, and maybe the new investor who thinks he's got it lined up and he's going to get the team and he wants to put Peyton in charge. That's not that easy because George Payton's got a 6-year contract and George Peyton is in charge. So, I don't know. I guess the short answer is no. I don't think any broadcast commitment stops any of these guys from moving back into football or coaching or, an executive position if they want to.
Mike, what do you make about the dismissal? What do you think that means in direct terms in regards to the Broncos ownership?
The only thing it means, without knowing the conditions, if there was a settlement or not, we don't know if that was the case or the daughters just didn't want to go through with, the case. As it drew nearer. All it means is that the trustees have a big hurdle. You couldn't sell that from their standpoint, and this was contended, but from their standpoint, you couldn't sell the team if a judge ruled that the trust was not valid. The trustees would be selling the team. You couldn't find a buyer. You get everything lined up and then the court, the judge says, it's not valid. So you start from square one and the trustees don't have the authority to sell the team. So you had to get that legal hurdle clarified and taken care of. And it has been resolved, I would think, satisfactorily for the trustees. They're now cleared to do as they wish.
Yep.
The question is, what do they wish? You know, are they moving forward with Brittany, or are they have they decided that it's better for the NFL and better for the Broncos if they transfer away from the Bolin family and let someone else run the team? And that is something that I'm sure Joe Ellis will be asked about at the barbecue, provided he's there. We expect him to be at the media barbecue next week. And hopefully some clarification will come then.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Mike Kliss. Courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, our 9 News Broncos insider. Well, the fans, Fast Lane to Cheyenne is on. Check out this. Garth Brooks tickets. Blake Shelton, tickets to Eric Church, Thomas Redd, Cody Johnson, Kane Brown, and more at Cheyenne Frontier Days. Oh, man. How do you win? Well, tomorrow, Wednesday, Schlereth and Evans, Orlando Sandy, Stokely and Zach, and us will reveal a different word each show for our Fast Lane to Cheyenne. So all you have to do is chill out and listen for... Once all 8 words have been revealed, the first caller, you can tell Richie the entire Fast Lane to Cheyenne phrase, wins the grand prize and all of those tickets, including Garth. But you got to be listening to all 4 shows. Starting tomorrow, goes to Wednesday, get the entire phrase, and you win. So best of luck. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.